But I do want to. I want to share for about a quarter of an hour. I'm not going to ask your permission. I'm just going to do it. And thank you. Just turn to somebody and greet them, and then we'll receive the offering, and then just get into the word just for a little bit. What those of you who were with us last weekend for the whole conference and through that, it was such an outstanding time. Janet has been absolutely inundated with messages from people that were here, obviously, leaders, ministries that were here, prophets that were here, and delegates that were here. You've never had so many messages. I don't know what they total up to, but it's a significant number of people just expressing thanks and just saying how they were impacted and how they experienced it and what they felt, and the way you those of you who served and the teams, the way you served people, the hospitality they felt, so many dimensions. So I just want to say thank you again to all those who made it work and made it possible. Just absolutely felt very proud of you all. And those who didn't turn up, well, get the videos. I know some of it circumstantially, of course, but obviously. But. Right, magnetic pulpit. Sorry, just look at somebody who's not struggling with their iPad. There we are. Title of this very brief message is, we don't always know the detail. Pardon? Yeah, I'll change mics. Thank you, Noah. Thank you for reminding me. Can I give that to you, darling? And we'll just do a wee bit of testing. Thank you so much. Very, very good. Well, we just want to give an opportunity given to the offering, tithes and offerings right now. So thank you, Andrew, and I don't know who else has got buckets growing. So Father, as we this is our last offering in this tent on Sunday. I know I'm going last, I don't know, but I'm still processing this. So anyway, for Father, today as we stand in recognition of your faithfulness and your kindness to us individually but also corporately, yeah. We just want to thank you for the provision you've made and the provision you're about to make. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for every step of the way. We don't always know the detail, but we walk trusting you. We walk with a hand in you. In your hand we walk following you. We walk filled with you. We walk being led by you, inspired by you, corrected by you, shepherded by you, taught by you, empowered by you. And so, Father, it's really all about you and you and us and you. So today, as we give of this offering, give of these tithes, we just honor you with all our honor. Everything comes from you. Our breath, the very energy that holds our molecules of our cells together, all comes from you. It is you. And we honor you, Jesus. We give you thanks and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It just reads so beautifully. I think we've got enough light. I've been doing a series on the kingdom and the king and his kingdom. And of course, our conference is called The Command of the King. And the speakers picked up on that beautifully in different ways. And a lot of the prophets, the way they spoke. It really is a time to be very much listening to and heeding the command of our King. If there was ever a time, I mean, it's always the time to be honoring the command of our King. It always is. But, you know, the Holy Ghost brings emphasis because sometimes, you know, there can be a bit of waving and wandering in the church. And a good shepherd, who Jesus is of his flock, those of us who are shepherds are under shepherds to him. He's the great shepherd who goes looking for the one that's lost, and he finds it and brings it back. Well, that's actually what he does with the church as well, on a greater scale. Some persist in rebellion, and if they do, well, then there's consequences to that. But if there's softness in your heart and yieldedness, then when we do stray a little bit or get a bit off point on this or off point on that, or we get a bit too over here and not here, or over there and not here, then because he's a good shepherd, he brings us back. Isn't that awesome? How many people have ever felt the shepherding hand of the Lord just bring you back? You ever experienced? G'day, Malcolm. Lovely to see you. You felt the shepherding hand of the Lord bring you back, and I've felt that. But in this walk with him, we don't always get all the fine detail. How many people love fine detail? I know some of you here, you just love fine detail. You want to know it all. You want to know exactly what the plan is. When Janet got married, she wanted to know exactly what the plan was, and there needed to be a plan, because Janet wasn't big on spontaneity, you know, the way I'm used to spontaneity. Whereas I preferred not to have too much of a plan, because I wanted to just adjust and move as we went. So if we went on holiday, I would have preferred not to have too much of a plan and just stop wherever we wanted to stop and whatever. But Janet wanted a plan, needed a plan. Now, the benefit is that some of that is rubbed off on me and some of my spontaneity is rubbed off on her. So between the two of us, we're kind of working it out after 43 years. It didn't take as long as that. But we had to realize that about each other. Janet loves detail. And it's interesting that God chose Janet to release the vision to, because she likes detail. You know, and gave a lot of detail in that vision. A lot of detail. Incredible detail. But here's the deal. There's still some detail we didn't get. And so, like timing on things. Janet had a thought that it would happen very quickly. I said, hang on, Janet. In this vision, there's an indication of multiple suburbs, new motorway, new road networks. That all indicates time. Remember we had that discussion? We absolutely had that discussion. All indicates time. So there's going to be an unfolding here, and there's still an unfolding. And so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, we're going to read it out of the Passion Translation. This is Paul's letter to the saints in Colossae, or however you want to pronounce that. Depends on which school you went to, if you went to one. There is a divine mystery. Who likes mysteries? A secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. But now it's being revealed, unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Isn't that amazing? Living within you is the Christ, who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and to bring every person into the full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity, with his power flowing through me, to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Christ Jesus. So this, what a fantastic passage. What an amazing passage. This is all one big sentence through Colossians. And Paul is speaking of a mystery or a secret or something that was hidden for generation upon generation upon generation. All of the men and women of God through that history before the cross and before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the way we now have been experiencing it, all of those people had a little bit of information about the nature and character of God and his goodness and his redemptive plan. But once Christ came, once the King came, once the Savior came and then demonstrated who God is and what he's like and what his actions are like and heart is like and so on, the veil began to lift off people, and the Holy Spirit removed that veil if they would believe to see this mystery that had been hidden for generation after generation after generation after generation. There are things that God has hidden. It is God's prerogative to not always have to tell us everything. I had one little grandchild that several weeks ago, may have been before Christmas, went through quite an intense little stage of asking why to everything. They wore me out. I can't remember which one it was. Wait, I wouldn't name them anyway, just in case they felt a wee bit embarrassed about that. But I said something, the little one said, why? And I said, because of this. Why? Because of this. Why? Because of this. Why? And I'm sorry, this is getting tiring. Why? Because of this. Why? And I'm going, I'm running out of stuff here. And so, but that intense desire to know why is part of the heart of a child, to know why and to know what, and to know the detail. But the other side of it is, as you grow up, you realize you don't always know why. And you don't always know the specifics ahead of time. And so life in Christ is a life of trust. It's a life of faith. Faith isn't knowing everything ahead of time. Faith is the one we're walking with, or esteeming the one we're walking with as truthful and all-powerful. So when we embark on another venture in life, whatever that looks like, sorry, I've walked out of the light into the darkness. There's more darkness on that side.
That's the dark side.
I've forgotten the train of thought now, but anyway. When you're walking with the Lord, you don't always get to know every detail. Because it's a walk of faith. Because it's a walk of trust. And Paul is expressing the fact that for generation upon generation upon generation, there was a mystery or something secret or something that was yet to be revealed that God had for a specific period of time. And when that mystery was revealed, things begin to explode. We are walking now out of this into the Balcan Street venue, and then sometime out of that, hopefully into our building, however complete it is or not. I don't know the detail because I don't know the detail. People say to you, when are you going to turn the dirt over? I don't know. I don't have the detail. People say, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Sometimes I simply don't know because I don't have the detail. But we're walking a walk. We're walking a walk of trust. Amen. We're walking a walk knowing that there are not the mystery like Christ was hidden for, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, hidden for generation after generation after generation. But in life, there are times where you just have to choose to trust. You have to choose to trust the one who is all-powerful. Your heart is to walk with him. The heart is to walk in step with him. The heart is to obey him. The heart is to honor him. And there's an orientation toward him. But sometimes in life, there's things that you just don't get the inside information on. A number of you have faced things in life. You've walked through things in life. And inside, there has been a big why. But you've come to a place where you're not getting the answer to that why. So you just have to leave it with the Lord. There is a day when that what you will understand that why. But to live with the frustration of not knowing what the why is can drain you. So there comes a time when you have to say, I don't understand this, it's a mystery to me, so I have to leave it with the Lord and continue to walk with him, knowing that one day I might know the why. One day I might know the why. And for this here in this context, they had no understanding as to why Jesus would go back to Jerusalem and face being killed. He tried to tell them, but they just didn't have an understanding of the why. They did not have an understanding of the why when that crowd came on the night he was crucified and took him captive. Even though they said, "We're looking for Jesus," he said, "I am He." Wow, they all fell over backwards. Possibly hundreds of them. That's an altar call. Peter whips out a sword. Peter cuts off the servant's ear. Jesus picks it up, puts it back on, basically saving Peter's life. Because for him to attack that guy, whoever it was he was a servant of, that was the death penalty. So Jesus, whether it was a bit lying on the ground wriggling, I don't know. But ears don't really wriggle, but anyway, I just imagine it, you know. There's the bit of ear, picks it up, and maybe it wasn't on the ground, maybe it was just resting on a shoulder. I don't know. Maybe it was dangling. But whatever it was, he put his hand and healed the servant's ear. No, I'm good with this. Jesus just saved Peter's life. But they didn't know why. They didn't know why he was going to the cross. They didn't know why he was being crucified. They didn't know why this Savior they were following, this Messiah who was going to restore the kingdom of Israel, and the way they understood it, they didn't know why he was now being taken down from this cross and placed in a tomb. Even when the women came to him, having seen Jesus on resurrection morning, and coming to them and saying, "We've seen Jesus, he's alive," most of them didn't believe. The why and the confusion around the why was so big, there was just this inability to believe. Jesus walks into the room, door locked, stands in front of them, rebukes them a bit for their hard-heartedness and not believing the messengers he sent. And their hearts were softened, and then they began to understand the why at the time that God appointed. There are times when we walk with a mystery, there are times when we don't know the detail, but we walk in trust knowing that he's all-powerful. When Mary and Martha were so upset that Jesus did not come, when Lazarus, his close friend, was sick, they'd seen so many miracles, they'd seen so many healings, they'd seen lepers cleansed, people with no eyes had eyes restored, people that were crippled all their life healed and restored. They'd seen the most profound miracles, they'd seen food multiply, they'd heard about Jesus walking on the water, maybe they saw it themselves. All these things that had happened, and yet he doesn't turn up when the brother's sick. So all of those whys. Mary could have been so upset with him, she could have run the other way, offended. But she went out to meet him. "Why weren't you here? If you were here, you could have healed my brother." So these big whys. In that instance, of course, we know the end of the story, that Lazarus was resurrected. And then, of course, a bunch of jealous people wanted to kill him. It's a bit of a rough deal, really. You're dead in the tomb for 4 days, you get resurrected, and then there's a bunch of people who don't like the fact you've been resurrected want to kill you. Such is the nature of that religious thing sometimes. So there's questions around, there's questions, there's whys, but overall, there's got to be trust. And the one we trust is the one who is consistent, and the one who will answer our questions when they really need to be answered. So Paul is saying there's been a mystery. It's been hidden for generation after generation after generation. But now in Christ, that mystery has been revealed. Unless we and if we go to 1 Corinthians, we're going to finish on this 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, sorry. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 6. I'd like to read more to get the context, but I'll read from verse 6. However, you need to know what the however is there for, but we don't have time for that. There is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. He's talking about spiritual rulers, principalities and powers. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is His secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world order, rulers of this present world order understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. This is why the scripture says, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine, these are the many things that God has stored for all His lovers. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, He has revealed to us His inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. After all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his mind, his hidden impulses, except for that person's spirit? So it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only truly understood by His Spirit, the Spirit of God. So Paul is now speaking of this mystery that was hidden. Now here's the deal, and he points out so beautifully that if it had been general knowledge what Jesus would do and what would happen as a result of what He did and the resurrection, all that sort of thing, the powers or the rulers of darkness wouldn't have crucified Him. So God has to keep some secrets. He doesn't reveal all His plan to everybody all the time. He reveals what we need to know, and He reveals, if we walk with Him, what we need to know when we need to know it. But He doesn't reveal everything all the time. If He had been open display and the principalities and powers had have known the wisdom of God, that if they crucify the Son of God thinking they're getting rid of Him, if they crucify the Son of God, that means the inheritance will never go back to humanity under the lordship of the Son. It'll stay with us because Adam delivered it to us. And we would have the power to keep humanity and all creation in bondage forever, our servants. Wow. But God held the mystery, a mystery, up until a point. And then that mystery has now been revealed. And that mystery is this. It's now, through the work of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, it's now Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you is Satan's worst nightmare. Christ in you trusted. Christ in you believed. Christ in you followed. Christ in you ministered is his worst nightmare. He thought he got rid of him. He thought he had gotten rid of him. But now he's got millions to deal with. They're in every corner of the world. They're just about in every city. They've tried to oppress us. They've tried to kill us. They've tried to ban us. They've tried to cancel us. They've tried to do whatever they want to do. But this thing called the church, this mystery of God that was hidden for generation upon generation, Christ in us, the hope of glory, is now being realized more and more. And more believers and more saints are coming to realize what this mystery really means, Christ in us, the hope of glory. No longer is it beggarly religion. No longer is it having to pray to somebody's mother. to try and get favor. But we can come boldly to the throne of grace to seek mercy in time of need, because we've been washed clean by his blood. This mystery, why did he need to shed his blood? Why would he die? It's the end of our hope. No, it wasn't the end of their hope. It was the end of what they understood, but it was a misunderstanding. Jesus tried to clarify some things, tried to tell them beforehand, so that when it happened then they would understand and they would believe, and it worked. But up until the cross and up until the resurrection and up until the ascension, there was a bunch of things they just didn't get. And yet, he still led them, he still walked with them, he still nurtured them. And there's things we don't fully understand now, but he still walks with us, he still nurtures us, he still brings us along following him. So, for every one of us, we're walking in revelation, but we're also walking in things we don't understand. We're walking in revelation and understanding and the history of what he's done, but we're also walking with some mysteries that haven't been revealed to us yet. There's some whys that we don't understand yet. And so what do we do with those whys? We have to leave them in the trust of the Lord. We have to bring those whys into the place where we say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. Because there's coming a day when you will perhaps understand that why. But your ongoing trust, your ongoing tenderness to him, your ongoing walk with him is the key. And so with this walk we are in, there may be some whys you don't understand. Just trust Jesus. Trust the Holy Ghost. Trust the Word of God. Trust who he is. Trust what he's already revealed. And if there's some things he hasn't revealed to you, just trust what he's revealed to you. Amen? There may be some things that people just need to lay to rest with the Lord. Say, Lord, I've been fighting with this. I've been struggling with this. It's really affected me. But today, I'm going to just hand it over to you. I don't understand it right now, why that happened the way it did, but I'm just going to leave it with you. Praise God for the mystery he has revealed. Amen. And trust him with what he hasn't. Can we do that? So if I know what's happening, and you ask me, I'll tell you. But if I don't know yet the detail, I'll just say I don't know the detail. True with that, any of the elders and overseers, and let's stand right now. Father, we know that this world, this life, can really have some mysteries, or at least mysteries that we feel we should have answers to, or things that don't add up in the way we see the world or see you or see the kingdom of God or whatever it is that we're, the way we see it. And yet, Lord, we know that you're above all. You're all powerful. You're almighty. And yet we see that you did hold things secret and veiled for a very good reason. Because if those principalities and powers, those rulers of the world at that time, had known what the repercussions of crucifying your son was, they would never have done it. So your mystery fooled them. They believed one thing, that they'd gotten rid of the rightful heir of the kingdom, but you had far greater plans. Far greater plans. I wonder if you'd pray with me. Father, today, I recognize I have some unanswered mysteries. Some things I haven't understood. Some of those things have been painful things. Today, I hand them over. I hand over the why. Maybe you'll let me know the why in due time. But maybe you won't. But in the meantime, I choose to trust you and walk with you and be led by you. I know that in the resurrection, these things will be answered. And I'll see it from a very different perspective. But until then, until I meet you face to face, there's some things I don't understand. But I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I break all agreement with the distrust that has tried to take root because I haven't understood my why on that issue. I lay it down. I break my agreement with that distrust, with that cynicism, with that unbelief, with that grudge. I break agreement with it. I release it from my heart. I refuse to carry that any longer in reference to you. I choose now to trust you, to let you lead me into all good things that are ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody here who's never received Christ as their Lord and Savior, or you've been away from Him, something's gone on, you've been away, you've been distant, you've been disconnected from the family of God or from Him, and you need to come back to Him today. Can I put the call out to you? Could I invite you to receive Christ? Could I invite you to commit your life back to Him, to follow Him? It may have been that there was a real mystery. God bless you. God bless you. There may have been there was a real mystery that you never got an answer to, that was a very painful one. And as a result, you hardened your heart maybe, or your heart just became hardened and cynical and you pulled away. I want to tell you, my friends, that's a real trap of darkness. And what I encourage you to do is hand that over to the Lord. Open your heart to Him again and allow Him to fill you and lead you into the future. Because that mystery, that offense, that cynicism, that hurt, that pain is not going to take you into life. Not going to take you into hope. It's only going to keep you in a place of despair, oppression of some sort, disbelief, unbelief, cynicism, in a place of basically spiritual disease. So let your heart be healed today. If that's you, come on up. Jordan, what's your name?
Brianna.
God bless you, Brianna. Can I shake your hand? You know these guys? Or you?
She's my sister.
Your sister. Oh, wonderful, Brianna. Yeah, I can see a family likeness there.
She decided to bring.
Are you okay with family likeness? You're all right with a bit of family likeness? Okay. Brianna, God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else need to respond? Now, anybody else? Now, have you ever welcomed the Lord into your life before? Is this your... You're committing your life to Him today?
I'm committing my life to Him today.
You are. Wonderful. Excellent. Excellent. Brianna, just come stand over here. And we've got Sophie here and a few people that'll... You don't have to face them, though. It might be a bit scary for you, but you can if you can face them.
I've faced scarier things.
You face scarier things. Right? That's a good thing. So, Brianna, I'm going to lead you in some prayer. Very simple prayer, but the issue is it's your heart that's important. And if you open your heart, which may be a strange thing to say, but I think you probably know what it means to open your heart. Open your heart to the Lord. And you're just going to confess to Him that you need Him to forgive you. That you've sinned, that you need to be forgiven. But also that you want Him to be your Savior. And to come in to be the Lord of your life. and you're committing your life to Him. But what the main thing is, you're going to have your sin forgiven and you're going to receive eternal life. And you're going to begin a whole new life walking with Him. You don't understand maybe much yet. I don't know how much you understand. That's not the issue. The issue is you're turning your heart toward the Lord. And He takes that really seriously. And He loves you already so much. Okay? You okay with that? Yeah. How about we all pray this together? And if you're online, join me online. Let's all pray this together. Can I hold your hand? That'd be all right.
That's a bit sweaty.
Mine gets that way too. How about you pray with me, Brianna? And everybody else, let's join together. Father, today.
I thank you.
For reaching into my life. And inviting me.
And drawing me.
To you.
Jesus.
I believe.
That you are the Son of God.
That you came.
Lived a sinless life.
But died on a cross.
Not for your sin.
But for mine.
To pay the debt.
That I owed.
For my sin.
My rebellion.
My indifference to you.
Today, Lord.
I ask you to forgive me.
Of all my sin.
And I ask you to receive me
as your very own child.
I thank you, Lord,
that you love me
in purity.
And I can trust you.
So come into my life, Lord.
Be my Lord and Savior.
I commit my life
completely to you.
And ask you to fill me.
And to lead me.
And to strengthen me.
And to cause me to grow.
To be a mature daughter.
Of my Heavenly Father.
I thank you, Lord.
I've been forgiven.
I've received your life.
I am a new person from today onwards.
Teach me how to live.
Teach me about yourself.
Teach me about myself.
As your daughter.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I reckon you really believed that. You meant that, didn't you? You certainly did. That's wonderful. That's what God's looking for. Okay. Can we pray for you now? Your big sister there. Big sister, little sister?
Little sister.
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
Is it right if you're little sister? Whatever. Okay. Father, right now, thank you for Brianna. We just thank you for this work of your Spirit in her life. And Father, right now, we just thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Filling her life, touching her life. Be filled with His presence. Be filled with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray and thank you that this decision, this response to you today would be sealed in her life for eternity. Thank you, Lord. Reveal yourself to her wonderfully and powerfully through your word and also in spirit encounters with you. In Jesus' name. We bless her now. We welcome her to the family of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. These wonderful young ladies will now just chat with you a wee bit more. Okay. So now we're going to come to something. We've come to something we're going to do, which is quite deliberate. Janet and I are going to carry this pulpit out. It's a symbolic gesture. And then we're going to ask you if you'd follow us. And if we can all go out that door, because there's a camera set out there with AI on it and all that. No, there's a camera out there. And we're just going to record this moment in our history. So if you could please come this way, not go out that way. That'd be all right? Thank you so much, Grant. Very good.